I'm Jason Michael Perry, man with three first names. This is Thoughts on Tech and Things, where we cut through the hype around emerging technology and look at what it actually means for work, life, and business. You may not realize it, but AI is quietly changing how you use the internet. If you needed help writing a resume or had a question about George Washington, chances are, a few years ago, you would have Googled it. But today, more and more of those questions are turning into prompts to ChatGPT, Claude, or another AI model. At the same time, businesses are experiencing something that The Verge's editor, Nilay Patel, says it's Google Zero. This is this experience where Google, bit by bit, delivers less and less traffic to businesses and websites, making it harder for you to convert and generate revenue. Today, we're talking about what happens when Google search traffic falls to zero, a moment many online businesses are already living through. To help unpack it, I'm joined by Andy Janitis, founder of PPC Pitbulls, a digital marketing agency helping clients navigate SEO, PPC, and now this new world of AI-first discovery. But before we dig in, let's talk about some stories that caught my eye. Speaking of the old web, Wikipedia, the internet's favorite reference library, says human visits are dropping fast. The Wikimedia Foundation reports a steep decline in traffic, blaming AI systems like ChatGPT, Perplexity, and Google AI Overviews for answering questions directly instead of linking out. It's one thing when businesses lose clicks. It's another thing when the open web starts to dry up. And if Wikipedia can't attract visitors anymore, how will it retain editors? And worse, what happens to the places we all learn to trust online when they start to go away? But what's fascinating is that Wikipedia now has a new rival, or maybe we should call it a clone. Elon Musk just launched something called Grokpedia, a new encyclopedia that's heavily modeled after Wikipedia, except instead of human editors and volunteers, it's powered by Musk's own AI model called Grok, built by a company called XAI, which he also owns. So while Wikipedia is struggling to hold on to human contributors, Grokpedia is trying to automate knowledge itself. It's a perfect symbol of where we're headed. Fewer humans writing the internet and more AI generating and summarizing it. I think a good question to ask is what happens when AI starts doing all the things for us? And another example of that is Perplexity AI. You may have mentioned a few weeks ago, I mentioned a new AI-powered browser called Comet that was released by Perplexity. With Comet, you give it a task, like book a flight, shop for a winter coat, or find me the best laptop deals. And it will literally browse the web, search for the item, and then complete that task for you, all while you watch as the browser does these actions controlled by AI in the background. Amazon isn't thrilled about this and has actually launched a lawsuit. The company, Amazon, is accusing Perplexity of using Comet to access Amazon's user accounts and act as a fake human shopper. Perplexity says it's simply the next logical step, where the AI-powered browser interacts with the web, including Amazon, and then does the task for a person. This is all a glimpse of where commerce is potentially going as AI gets involved in it. And AI that doesn't just find things for you, but AI that buys things for us. And if bots are doing the shopping, Amazon's not just losing clicks, it's losing control of the experience itself. Now let's talk with Andrew. Google has always been the front door to the internet. For years, businesses optimized their websites with something called SEO, search engine optimization, just to make sure they rank higher, get more clicks, and of course that equated to more revenue. But things have started to change. Google has started to increasingly direct people to their own platforms, Google Maps or other forms of Google Results, and now AI Overviews. And increasingly, this means that for your website, the click never comes. This is a phenomenon called Google Zero, and I am joined by Andy Janitis, who I thought would be the perfect person to talk to about this current situation and also how AI is impacting it. Andy is the founder of PPC Pitbulls. He's built a reputation helping companies make sense of digital marketing, from everything from PPC or pay-per-click to broader strategies that customers are starting to adapt to as they try to figure out how does this work in this new world and this new shift. Andy, I'm glad to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
So I used a whole bunch of words there, and I would love if we could just start off, if you could just explain for folks SEO, PPC, what are those things? What do those things mean?
Great. Yeah. I think a lot of people can get pretty confused with that and use some of those things interchangeably. So just to kind of go from the top level, maybe like a hierarchical approach, we have digital marketing, right, is selling your company, trying to get in front of customers and get the word out there about your services, your products. Within digital marketing, oftentimes we think of things in terms of either organic or paid. So organic is going to be, you know, just content that you have on your site, information that's out there in the world. People can find it either via social media, Google. You know, this is just the standard listing, standard ways that people find their way to your website. On the other hand, we have paid, and this is going to be where you're actually paying when you hear PPC, pay per click. So essentially, you go to Google or you go to Meta and tell them, hey, I'm willing to pay X amount of cents every time somebody will click onto my website. And you can run ads essentially to say, hey, I'm going to drive some traffic and I'm going to pay for that. It's not just organically people finding you based on what's on your site or on your social media profile. So kind of on the organic side, historically, we've had SEO, which was search engine optimization, or different tricks and kind of ways that you can get Google to pick up your content more so that when somebody's searching for a particular keyword, you know, say you're selling a product, you're selling handbags. When somebody searches for, you know, most fashionable handbags, you want your product to show up right up at the top. There's different ways that you can structure your content and technically structure the data on your page to make sure that you can get up higher for those types of keywords. There's a lot of different strategies involved with that, and they've all evolved over time. Now we're starting to hear AEO instead of SEO, or answer engine optimization.
Yes, and AEO, and I love that separation of organic versus paid. I think that's a great way to think of it. And on the paid side, I always think of those little sponsored links, right, that show up at the top of Google, or these can also be display ads that show up on websites. But the thing is that if it's paid, you pay per the click. But the evolution, AEO, some people call it GEO, what does that stand for?
Answer engine optimization in the case of AEO or generative engine optimization.
And that speaks to this idea that it's like an AI-powered search, right? I say this because a lot of folks still think that they use Google a ton, but they don't really. There's a lot of search that's moved into, say, for example, if you're trying to figure out how to write a resume. Instead of starting in Google, you may go to ChatGPT. Or you may use a search engine, which I like a lot, called Perplexity. So search is changing, and I guess those organic searches are now moving to this other stuff, right?
Exactly, yeah. And that's where the lines start to blend quite a bit. So last I saw, Google is down to maybe 80% of search share. So one thing I like to point out is still Google is, you know, the big dog in the room. And then the other big thing to point out is that Google, for a long time, as you mentioned, has been doing different structured snippets, product listings, kind of different things that are separate from just the pure listing where somebody would click and get to a website. But now they've even added to that with AI-generated responses up at the top. So you're probably familiar with that, where you make a search and you get the full answer, almost something similar to like what you would see in ChatGPT. I think it's interesting to see that there is definitely a flow away from traditional search. People are using these LLMs more. Perplexity is great for different types of research, and all the different tools work in different ways. But also interesting to see that Google is changing along with the tide as well. So there is some crossover, and to say what exactly is a search versus, I guess, a Google search versus a pure LLM search, there's some mix and match in there.
And that speaks to this idea of Google Zero. I think it's Nilay Patel at The Verge who coined this term. And there are a lot of companies who talk about it. HouseFresh has a really great blog. I'll put it in the notes for the podcast. But a blog post about how their traffic has started to drop from that organic search, the SEO, the links that are not paid on Google. And part of what they're seeing is just like you were saying, like you search for, I don't know, a USB-C charger, and the things that pop up on Google, like the first part of the page before you have to scroll, or the shopping links, right, or a map, or maybe even a list of ratings for restaurants. And so it's like they're trying to capture you into their own environment before. And I know part of what you do with digital marketing is help companies figure out tactics to maybe make sure that they're still positioned regardless of the way that they're working with Google.
Exactly, yeah. And that's, you know, we've seen reports, some content-heavy sites have been up to 50% of their traffic from organic searches, and Google have gone away.
Yeah.
And the idea, just like you said, it's that you're getting the answer directly in that Google portal. You don't even have to click through to the other site. So a lot of businesses, you know, maybe most businesses that are making money online, they've kind of, you know, developed a business model around getting traffic to come to the site and then ultimately, you know, building a purchase, building maybe they're even advertising on the site and they're building some revenue via just eyeballs being there. So that can be, you know, pretty problematic for some of these companies. As we're going in that direction and it's starting to trend down further and further, there's kind of two different approaches that companies can take. You can look at either getting yourself in, say, the Google results in a way that still gives you the value that you're expecting to get. You know, so things like branded approaches where if somebody is comparing two different products, making sure that you are showing up, even if it's showing up in that answer panel and it's not necessarily going to be a click to your site, you can still get the brand value out of that of saying, hey, you know, we've written our content properly that we show up in the answer panel as the right choice for that particular query or question that somebody is looking to answer. And then the other thing is, you know, the paid approach, as we were talking about. So finding different ways to kind of augment that traffic that used to be coming organically, but now is just coming over via, you know, you're telling Google, hey, I want to make sure that I'm pushing myself up higher, or telling Meta in that case, if you want to go on kind of the social media side, and finding ways to supplement that traffic and get more people coming back to the site. But of course, that's not always, doesn't always work for every business model online.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, so shifting a little bit to this, to the AI piece, so the AI overviews that you were talking about that show up in Google, and also this is essentially what ChatGPT and any, you know, of these AI tools are, right? The AEO, which is answer engine because it answers the questions, or generative engine because it's generative AI, give you the answer, which means that you're not getting the impression. I often talk about the question that I don't know why I have to ask this question all the time, but it's how long do I boil you a pot of rice, you know, or how much water do I need to, in terms of the right water to rice ratio? And before, like, an organic link would come up, I'd click it and I'd scroll down 5,000 pages of story about somebody and all the things to get to the actual, you know, information. But now that's right in the summary. Or it comes up in ChatGPT's just, I answered the question and it just tells me what I need. And this changes things because that site never gets the attribution. It never gets the click. And for businesses, this is a drastic change in the way that you approach things. And I've started asking businesses, have you, I don't know, I'm going to have to verbify this, have you ChatGPT'd yourself, right? Have you searched yourself on Perplexity or looked at yourself on Claude or these different engines? Because they're pulling data from different sources. Is that right?
Exactly, yeah. And there's kind of different ways, as you mentioned, the kind of different ways that businesses can be referenced, right? So, you know, in the old SEO days, you're looking to kind of drive traffic to your site. When you're looking at that, obviously the content on your site matters the most. And then there's also some authority signals, so different ways that Google could figure out whether your site was the most authoritative for a particular keyword, things like backlinks going back to the site, you know, other pages linking to your content. But now, you can really show up everywhere. So when you think about, you know, in the case of products or services, oftentimes, you know, your business is going to be referenced, say, in Reddit or on other people's social media posts. And those will then get ingested into all these different LLMs. So it's one, you know, how you write the content on your page, but then also making sure that you're just kind of omnipresent and you're mm-hmm. around, you know, people talk about, you know, podcasts, you know, being on podcasts as like a really great way to, you know, make sure you're showing up in all these different channels. And if, you know, the same person or the same business is showing up across, you know, social media and podcasts and content on their own website and answers in Reddit, that's how the LLMs are starting to figure out that, okay, this is, you know, an authoritative piece for this, or that's, you know, kind of the right answer for this particular question.
And authoritative, you mentioned authority. And the way that I understand authority to work is if someone that Google knows or that an LLM knows is an important authority in this thing, if they link to you, then that kind of is like a transfer of their authority, because that means that they must think that you also have that. And so some of this is that if you have a Wikipedia page and it sees Wikipedia, because Wikipedia is one of the big sources that a lot of these models are trained off of, or if there's an authority of some sort that has been used to train a model that points to you, then you get that attribution of authority. And this is like that backlink strategy, right? How do you get other people who we know are important to point to you and say you're important?
Exactly, yeah. And at the end of the day, I think this is like another one of those kind of fundamentals to think about when you're looking at this. Whether it was SEO in the old days, we would think about a lot of tips and tricks with, you know, backlinks and, you know, how do you stuff keywords into your content to make sure you show up in different ways. A lot of little different marketing tricks that you could do to do that. And same with AEO today, you know, in the LLMs, there's different, approaches that people are taking and different ways to write content. But at the end of the day, you have to remember that ultimately Google is trying to provide a strong service to its users, right? So they want the best questions, or they want to help somebody answer their query, you know, in the best way possible, because the higher that quality is, the more people trust Google and, or, you know, ChatGPT or whatever the service is. They want to deliver the highest quality answer as possible, because that's ultimately how they're going to make their revenue, you know, by becoming a trusted source of information. So all of these different strategies revolve around ways that you can tell these services, whether it be Google or ChatGPT or Perplexity, that, hey, my answer is actually probably the best answer and probably the one that these people are going to care the most about. So if you can get linked up with different traffic sources that people typically trust, that's going to be a great signal to these models that, hey, you probably have a good answer. I like to reference Reddit a lot, because that's another one, you know, really good service. And people are really looking for authenticity these days. That's a big, you know, move across all of marketing, is we're looking for people we can trust. You know, people distrust information on the internet in general now. So we're looking for different ways to come across as authentic. And Reddit is a great way where we believe that these are anonymized people who are, you know, answering questions honestly. So that's just one example of kind of a place where these LLMs can pull data and ultimately, you know, use that as a signal that, hey, if this particular product or this particular service gets referenced over and over again in a lot of what looks like independent posts, okay, you know, there's a lot of people out there that seem to reference this as the right product or service or answer for this question.
That makes sense. So before this podcast, you sent me a link about Shopify. And part of this PPC journey, this pay-per-click journey, is that there are increasingly new ways that companies are exploring what commerce and discovery looks like with LLMs and ChatGPT. One of these is this idea of maybe you start your shopping in ChatGPT. With Shopify, the article that you sent me, they're working to make it so that you can ask questions and maybe even like buy inside of it. And I'm sure there's other things that are happening that are similar to this.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, this happened with Google years ago, that when you were searching for a particular product, rather than just having, you know, the blue link to a website, you would actually see those shopping listings up at the top. You actually see the product with the price, maybe if there's any promotions that they're running, as an actual answer for the query. Well, now ChatGPT is kind of getting into that game, and they've got an integration with Shopify that is starting to roll out. They've already had an integration with eBay, with Etsy, some of these other smaller platforms as well. But I think Shopify is going to be a real game changer in this area. They've actually already rolled it out for some really big brands, and now it's kind of in beta. It's, you know, invite only when your brand gets picked to kind of bring your store onto Shopify or onto ChatGPT, I should say. But when you can think about a particular person going into ChatGPT, just as kind of an experiment yesterday, I said, hey, you know, ChatGPT, very conversational. I'm looking to buy the right gift for my mom. And I included a lot of different information and said, okay, well, she loves to travel, but she also likes to cook, you know, so like, what about, you know, some cooking gear for travel or something like that, or, you know, a gift that kind of matches across those two things. And I got an answer that looked a lot like standard ChatGPT answer, conversational output, you know, said, oh, hey, great idea. That's so thoughtful of you to get a gift. Of course, it kind of, you know, sycophantic. But then it went into some specific products, and it actually had the listings themselves the same way you would see at the top in your Google search results. And I was able to click over to some different links, and there was a camping stove on REI. So not sure it was necessarily the best fit for what the query was at this point, but the point is, you know, it's getting easier and easier now to put your product data into ChatGPT directly. All the LLMs are going to start doing this as well. But really what it is the first step for those services to start developing more of a paid approach. And ChatGPT right now is actually reportedly, you know, staffing up an ads department so that you'll be able to go ahead and pay and say, hey, when somebody's searching for camping stoves or a question that a camping stove would be a reasonable answer for, let me go ahead and get my product pushed up to the top and say that I'm willing to spend a little bit of money when people click off of ChatGPT onto my site to buy that product.
That makes a lot of sense. So the thing that I think is important for any business to listen to this to really hear is that Google Zero is happening. And this may mean a drastic shift to ChatGPT or LLMs or tools like Perplexity or Claude as the first place that they search. Or it may mean that just bit by bit, that organic search traffic that you've maybe relied on is going to start to reduce, you know, bit by bit. And discovery is changing. The way that we find products, the way that we shop, the way that we that your business operates is going to have to change, you know, as part of this. So here's the last question on our way out. If discovery and how we find things is changing, is there anything that you would give as like a starting point, a tip to businesses listening like today and they're saying, oh my goodness, this is going to change everything, but maybe Google Zero gives me 5 years before I have to worry about our SEO strategy not being the way to do things. Like, what can they do now? What do you start with? What do you do?
Yeah, I like to kind of tell people, and this is why, you know, sometimes I kind of, you know, poo-poo the difference between SEO and AEO. I think these are trends that have been happening for a long time. You know, so we talk about, even with Google Zero, they've been doing structured snippets forever. So, you know, it's not, oh, you know, ChatGPT came out and then Google tried to, you know, come after with Gemini. And for the first time now, these AI answers are the first time ever that they're trying to keep traffic inside the platform. But so one, you know, businesses should really think that the way to get ahead, this is the way that SEO has been trending for a long time and the way that AEO is now trending as well, is to create real authentic content that actually answers a customer's problem, right? So I think a lot of this is just one big trend going in the direction that these engines, whether it's Google or ChatGPT, is getting better and better and better at kind of getting through the noise and figuring out the different tricks to actually give people the authentic content that is going to answer their question and give them a direct answer. There are some, you know, differences in AEO that, you know, it's a little bit more question answer focused as opposed to, you know, SEO is a little bit more keyword focused. So your content should be more concise and more, you know, use tabular data to help directly answer specific questions. Like, those types of things are a little bit different technically. But at the end of the day, it's just figuring out what your product or service, you know, what is the real question that your customers are asking and that you really help people with, and then write good authentic content that actually answers that question. And that's going to be the way to, you know, stay ahead of all this stuff.
So what I'm hearing is authenticity, meet the customer where they're at. Well, that's awesome, Andy. You can find more about Andy's company at his website, ppcpitbulls.com, and also search for him on LinkedIn, Andy Janitis. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Before we wrap up, I have a story that's both heartbreaking and thought-provoking. In San Francisco's Mission District, a Waymo self-driving car struck and killed a bodega cat named Kit Kat. This cat was a fixture of the neighborhood who lived in a local liquor store and was known to just about everyone in the neighborhood. Residents have built a memorial outside the store with flowers, candles, handwritten notes. Waymo caused this all a tragic accident. The system detected the cat, but didn't have enough time to react. And this is something that happens every day all around the world. Cars hit animals, whatever animals that those animals are. But it's harder to know who's accountable or what to look for when the driver is an algorithm, when the driver is an AI-powered system. As autonomous vehicles become more common, moments like this are going to force us to ask, where does accountability and responsibility really lie? Is it with the technology? Is it with the companies behind it? Or is it with the humans who are still supposed to be in control? Thanks to the team at WYPR, our producer Sam Burmes-Dawes and Perry Labs Head of Operations and Marketing, Myrna Martinez. New episodes drop every other Wednesday, and we've got some great conversations on the way.